Hello, my name is Tom, and this is Revolution Comes to the Podcast.
So the first thing I'd like to talk about is the very first item in the Appendix N for Revolution Comes to the Kingdom, and that's a book called Two Eggs on My Plate. It was written by Olaf Reed Olsen, and it's actually the English combined edition of his two memoirs that he wrote in his native language of Norwegian. Olaf Reed Olsen was a member of the Norwegian resistance during World War II, when the country was occupied by Nazi Germany. And this book is a big, or perhaps the biggest, influence on RCTK. My first memory of the book is actually of not reading it. I remember seeing the paperback, which I guess the edition my parents had would have been published in the 70s. And the cover had a photo showing a radio set or a field telephone, perhaps, some kit in long, dark green grass. I can't remember if it was overly literal and had eggs on the cover, but I remember being curious about it. And I asked my mother what the title meant, what's it about, and she told me that the name came from a thing where the resistance operatives were at training camp or whatever, waiting to see who would be dispatched back to Norway to undertake some kind of secret mission. And if you got two eggs rather than one in your dinner or breakfast on a given day, then that wasn't the official sign, but it was an indication that it was going to be your turn next. That really stuck with me at the time. I didn't read it then. I was a bit too young for it, maybe 8 or 9 years old. Not a long book, but I could tell it was too much for me then. And so it was a few years before I did read it. When I did finally read it, some years later, probably in my late teens, I was struck by simply the bravery of the things that Olaf Reed Olsen and his friends did. At the very beginning, he's just a young man, just past being a teenager. Being in the resistance, you know, cycling past places to spy on military installations. There's a memorable incident where he and his friend have been captured, I think. They're in the back of a truck going over a bridge in a Norwegian town. And to escape, he just jumps out of the back of the lorry and off the bridge into the river below. Another big set piece, you might call it, is where they break into an airfield in order to steal a radio from a crashed aeroplane that's being kept there. I think that's how he gets captured, actually. And what struck me then, and I think now, as well as is the courage of doing these things that on the face of them are quite simple or quite small, but which could prove, when you add them all up, to be very important indeed. The escape from the bridge, for example, probably wouldn't merit more than a couple of lines in the newspaper if it was reported at all at the time. But for him, it would have changed the course of his life completely. The difference between arriving at his destination and being imprisoned, or making his escape down the river, hiding in the forest. Until, I think they talk about going to Sweden, which was neutral at the time, but in the end, I think they escaped by boat to Scotland. I forget exactly how it all turns out. I shall have to reread it. But that, I think, is the big takeaway for me in terms of the design or the atmosphere, the feel of RCTK. That idea of bravery in simple things every day, in an everyday context. And then to go from maybe the thing that has the widest ranging or biggest influence on the atmosphere of Revolution Comes to the Kingdom, to the item of media that specifically set me off wanting to create the game, is to come to the film The Siege of Jadaville, which you can find on Netflix and other media outlets. It's not the greatest film of all time, it won't change your life, but it's what you might call a solid entry in the action genre, and it's a historical military action film about the first ever UN peacekeepers sent out from the Republic of Ireland. And Ireland was neutral in both world wars, so this was a big deal at the time. And they were sent down to the Congo, where the Congo crisis was in full swing, involving the breakaway state of Katanga. The Republic of Katanga, as it, I was about to say, styled itself, but that's not really fair. Until they get recognized, all nations are styling themselves, aren't they? But Katanga was backed by some, you know, quite heavily capitalist concerns, which is, well, I mean, that's the thing. I'm not really here to rehearse the ins and outs of the Congo crisis and Katanga, but I think the complicated nature of the background, which is presented, I think, reasonably well in the film, is a good or rich kind of setup for Revolution Comes to the Kingdom, because it gives you the option in the game, you know, being unaligned, of allying with the rebels or the crown. And in order to make it possible for, you know, for that to be something palatable, something attractive to play either side, you do need examples of times that maybe the rebels are not the romantic faction. I think the natural inclination is to look to the rebels, but if we take their own claims on the face of it, you could say that, you know, Katanga, you know, the people there, the way they presented it at the time, you know, we want to be autonomous. The rest of the Congo kind of just wants us for our mineral resources. And then the counterpoint to that is that Katanga was backed by significant business interests who were getting a very good deal on those mineral resources, to which, again, you might respond and say, well, since that's the only trump card we have, being a small seceding part of a massive country, what else do you expect us to do? So without getting into the who was wrong or right about the Congo crisis, chiefly because I don't know, I think you can see that how it is possible for there to be a sort of a good status quo regime or a good rebel faction without having to get into these fatuous remarks that, oh, there's two sides to every story, which is, you know, in my experience, not, you know, a little bit of an easy thing to say, especially for people without a stake in it. And so, yeah, if you look at The Siege of Jadaville, I would say the action scenes and the sort of the nature of what's going on there is very much in line with the way that, yeah, like a gunfight might play out in the game RC2K. There's even a spot rule in the vehicle rules about turning a Jeep over on its side in order to use the machine gun on top to shoot an aeroplane, which is directly lifted from The Siege of Jadaville. And the reason I include that is not because I think it will come up so often as to be useful, but because I think it exemplifies the kind of improvisational thinking with limited resources that's kind of the goal of the game. And so I left it in, or rather I put it in, and as a, you know, you can do this kind of atmosphere generating with a short story before character generation or little sidebars, or you can do it with weird little hyper-specific rules that everyone's going to ignore. But I think that's the purpose of it, I guess. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I had to say about the Siege of Jadaville. I would say watch the film before reading up on the history, just to, just for spoiler alert purposes. But yeah, pretty solid film, and definitely in the exact time period of Revolution Comes to the Kingdom, and some of the same political kind of setup, I think you could say. And certainly the text alludes, presently alludes to things like Soviet backers or the UN and things like that, and how they might come into play you can also see in the Siege of Jadaville.
So that's the end of episode one. In due course, I will tackle something else from the Appendix N of Revolution Comes to the Kingdom, perhaps one of the Far Cry games, who can say? So stay tuned for episode two, and in the meantime, if you have any questions, comments, or complaints, please hassle me on Twitter, is probably the easiest thing, at PorcupineRPG. And if you're intrigued or excited about the game, you can find Revolution Comes to the Kingdom on Patreon at patreon.com/porcupinepublishing. Until next time, thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.